Paul Stapleton is joining us this morning as well, the chairman of Plymouth Argyle Football Club. You had another cup of tea, Paul. You're okay there?
I'm fine.
Good. Paul, I guess we've got to raise the issue of the stadium and the final phase of redevelopment, because you told us a couple of weeks ago now that you looked at maybe envisaging 2 years before it could be completed. We all remember the leader of the city council on the balcony in Guildhall Square last summer saying, you know, I want to get the stadium finished and everybody cheering. But in a piece a few weeks ago with BBC Radio Devon, he said, well, you have to go back to Argyle. The ball's in their court at the moment.
Interesting. I didn't hear that, actually, Gordon, when he said that, as you say, 2 weeks ago. The ball's not in Argyle's court. The ball's in both our courts, and we're working very closely together. I think what's happened with the council is I think they have a great will to get it done. There's a lot going on in the city. If you've only got to drive around Plymouth to see what's going on at the minute. And there's been a change in the city as well. They've had a new treasurer. They've just appointed a new chief executive. They are keen to get something done, and we've had a number of discussions with them leading up to Christmas. And we, in fact, I had a meeting in the middle of December with the outgoing chief executive, Mike Robinson, and the head of asset management, and it was very constructive, and we know where we're going, and it's on the table, and hopefully it will come to fruition. Tudor Evans is, as he said at the council, I remember him at the balcony when we had the celebration, saying, I'll get your stadium built. He actually said that, it's documented. He is very keen to get it done, and we're working very closely. And, what we're doing as a football club, just put everybody in the picture, is we're actually looking at what we need in our football stadium. And Phil Gill's been around the country looking at other places, as I do when I visit. We're very positive in what we want in our football ground. And we've talked to the builders, and we've got budgets, and we're very well on. It's a question now of linking that in with the council's plan for Central Park and the destination Central Park, and for the well-being of Plymouth and its community.
I guess, Paul, that, you know, as a man of finance yourself, you would appreciate that the longer it goes on, the more expensive it can become.
Quite right. We do have an agreement with the people who built the first part of our stadium to only index link the cost. But you're quite right. Index linking still means it can go up. But we have got an agreement with Bar, if we choose to use them, which will, you know, keep the cost to a reasonable level. But you're quite right. The longer things go on, you know, costs can double or whatever, even without blinking an eyelid. So we are very positive about what we're doing. We've always said all the way along the line that we won't do anything which would jeopardise the football club. But having visited all these other places and, you know, been places like, Coventry and Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday in the past, where they've all struggled with debt, Leeds particularly. They don't seem to worry about it, by the way, but they, you know, they're 30 million in debt, and they go and pay, you know, almost a million for a player, and doesn't seem to bother them too much. And, you know, that's totally against our philosophy at this football club. We've recovered from an adverse position to a positive position, and we want to make sure we continue that way. Having said that, we do feel as a board of directors that we can do the next stage and, you know, be absolutely fantastic for not only our fans and our football team and for players coming down, but for the people who live here and in the surrounding districts, because it should be a community asset with regard to, we should be able to hold events there which will provide entertainment for the people around, not just every fortnight on, you know, when we're at home sort of thing. And we want to use the stadium for other activities non-stop, really. I mean, you go to places like Wigan, you know, you see on the ground floor there's an Italian restaurant or something, and there's banqueting suites up top, and there's a community health place on the corner, and there's all sorts of things. And, you know, you actually do spend time when you're away, not socialising and sort of eating a three-course meal in the boardroom. You actually go and talk to people and look around and see what's going on. And we've done that for some time now, and so we've got a good picture of what we would like our stadium to be like, or our grandstand, really. I mean, we've got three sides done, don't forget. So, but we're now talking to other people when they come along and say, oh, it was 3 years ago we opened that. We played Torquay and we drew two each and they were lucky. And you think, 3 years, that seems quite a time now.
Yeah.
So it is very positive, and I'm sure Tudor, if he's listening, will agree that we're working very closely together. He feels that the offices he's got in place in the council are top-notch. They're driving the city forward. There's the rebranding of the city, as you know. There's all the Mackie vision. There's, you know, the cranes all the way around the city, and we're going to be part of that. They've got a project now which they call Destination Central Park, we're the focal point of it. We bring 20,000 people there every fortnight, hopefully. And, I've got no doubt that it's a very positive situation, and we're going to push on with it.
Okay. We've had a contact from Ray, who was rather upset about the Everton Cup tickets, Paul, because he's saying that he went up to Home Park when they were put on general sale, was unable to get any, and he saw people coming away with quite a number in their hand, some people buying 8 at a time and then selling them for above face value further back in the queue.
Right. Right. Now,
I've put you on the spot there, haven't I?
Well, no, because I've got to think about what you said, because I was up there during the course of the queuing, seeing what was going on, spoke to the steward. There was absolutely no question of anybody touting tickets, because that's an illegal offence, and the stewards were told to spot anybody who might try to do that. I was also told at the end of the day that everybody who queued got tickets. Now, so Ray's comment surprises me, because I made sure that there was, in discussion with Carol Rentry, the ticket, or the office manageress there, and Dave Boobier in charge of the stewards, we had a discussion during the course of the queuing in the morning, and we limited people to a certain amount of tickets per person on the basis that everybody who was there should hopefully get a ticket. I was told at the end of the day there were still tickets available. So Ray's comment surprises me, and...
The actual wording on he emailed me when he knew that you were coming on the show, Paul. He says that in full view of the stewards, some were buying 20 tickets at £15 and selling to those in the line outside the gate for £40.
No, well, not true as far as I'm aware, because we were conscious that at the early stages of the sale, when there was no restriction, that people might have been trying to buy too many, and we were advised to watch out for, this is no disrespect to anybody from Liverpool, but we were advised to watch out for Everton touts as well.
Sure.
Sort of thing. So we acted on the spot. I mean, I happened to be up there. My office is shut down for a few days, my own business, and I was up there seeing what was going on and making sure that everything was in order. So we did. So whether Ray got his tickets or not, I think he would have done, because if there's still some left at the end of the day and he queued, he would have got them. I actually saw somebody in the evening who, at the basketball, actually, he said to me that he queued 5.5 hours that day for his ticket. He was very pleased. He'd got his ticket. He had no problems. He understood that sometimes in life you've got to queue for things. And he was very positive and very happy, and I didn't hear any problems from him. So I'm sorry if Ray had a problem. We are aware that it is a criminal offence to take tickets, and we did say to the stewards that you're able to arrest anybody and we'll get the police if anybody was seen to be doing that. And I did hear one little story about someone who'd come out and was hanging around the back of the queue, and he was shooed away early on before I got there. And there was no evidence of that when I was there, because I was, either at the back or at the front of the queue on occasions. I think Ray would have got his ticket, and it's a shame. You know, there's nothing to stop. Who says, someone said to me there was something on eBay about tickets for the game. Now, I think that's also an offence. So we got to watch this out. But Gordon, it happens everywhere you go. People might go in and buy 2 tickets and all above board, and then decide to try and cash in and sell them.
Okay,
but it is a criminal offence to tout. So as anyone must be aware of that.
You've made that very clear. You're listening to the Plymouth Breakfast Show on BBC Radio Devon. We're having a chat with Paul Stapleton, the chairman of Argyle. Before 9. Paul, I hope, will give us his hopes for 2005. One thing I think I'd have to just give you a nudge in the ribs to mention this, Paul, because something very positive that's come out of Home Park in the last 12 months has been the commercial side, merchandising. And you know, a lot of people are very grateful about this. Spread your wings in that you've got an operation now in the city centre.
We have, Gordon. We realise that with the success of the football club, that the fans are proud now to wear anything connected with Plymouth Argyle. And it wasn't the same, unfortunately, 5-6 years ago, when you were relegated to the bottom division and, people didn't necessarily want to be associated with what we've got on offer. And what we have done is increased the range dramatically of what we can offer. We're still operating out of, we used to have the old offices or shops at the top of the ground, and now we, redeveloped part of the old porter cabin buildings, the old bar sort of buildings down the bottom, and spent some money on actually making it more attractive and more range. Rachel Fry's done a great job running the shop. The turnover has been fantastic. We've expanded into the city centre, as you did say. We're looking to increase the size of the shop at Home Park.
But does it make you proud when you see youngsters now that are walking around the city wearing Plymouth Argyle shirts when 5 years ago they would have been wearing some club from Old Trafford or a club from London?
No, you're right. I mean, don't forget, I've got two boys, and my oldest son, Oliver, used to go to football training, was the only one wearing a football shirt. I wasn't on the board then, but he would be the only one wearing an Argyle shirt, and the rest had Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United. Freddie's six. He can't get him out of his Argyle shirt. But I think he even wears it to bed. But when he goes to any sort of football
I've heard training, you do as well.
Yeah, probably. I can't tell you about that. When he goes to football training now, there's at least half. He went to a goalkeeping course with John Sheffield, ironically enough, in the summer, and there was probably, I don't know, 50% of the children there with Argyle shirts. And even at the basketball the other night, the predominance of Argyle shirts in the crowd amazed me. And I'm pleased to see it, because I always remember a player, we didn't sign him, and I don't know if he'd have been that good for us, a player called Lee Steele, went to Brighton instead of Plymouth. And one of the reasons why he went to Brighton is he walked around the city centre in Brighton, and he saw a lot of children wearing Brighton shirts.
Wow.
Went into the city centre in Plymouth and he didn't see any. And he said, I think Brighton's got more support than you.
Must have been a school day.
Might have been a school day. But, you know, this was going back, don't forget, to 98.
Yeah.
98, 99. Yeah. And you know, the Cates then were 4,000. And, you know, we weren't doing so much in merchandising, but we've woken up, if you like, to the fact of what we can offer. And they've been brilliant. The merchandising has been fantastic. And, you know, must never forget that. The gates have come along, if you like, and we've managed to have our attendances, but when you must try and maximise the other areas of income and provide a good service to your supporters. And the number of fleeces now that and people are wearing around, and my son said to me, or it might have been my daughter Lucy, said to me on when we played on Boxing Day, said, look at the new hats down below in the Mayfair standing, Dad. She said, like, see all the Christmas hats,
yeah,
all the new bobble hats for Christmas, and you could see them. It was brilliant to see.
Excellent,
you know?
Excellent.